This classic episode of the Children's Bible Hour is from 1984.
Hi, everybody. It's time for another visit with all your friends from the Children's Bible Hour.
Boys and girls for Jesus, this our earnest prayer. Boys and girls for Jesus, home, at school, at play, and everywhere. We'll tell the world of life in Jesus.
Uncle Charlie.
Hi, Uncle Charlie.
And hi to you. Oh, I'm so glad we can spend the next 30 minutes or so visiting with you. We have listeners in every state of these United States and about 100 other countries around the world. So we welcome you, young and old alike. Speaking of welcome, we also welcome to our studios today a large group of visitors from the Lancaster, Pennsylvania area. We go there just about every other year on our summer tour. It was nice of them to come to visit a taping session. And today's program is filled to the brim with lots of good things, so we'd best get right to our singing. Ooh, the cousins start out with a bright song that tells us this is the day that the Lord has made.
This is the day.
Because this is the day that the Lord has made, does that mean that everything will go smoothly for us today? That we'll never have any problems? Does it mean we'll be perfect and never make a mistake? No, of course not. Christians aren't perfect, just forgiven. The Lord Jesus is still working away at us to make us what we ought to be. This next song by our cousins is one several have requested. He's still working on me.
He's still working on me.
Oh, I'm so glad that it is the Lord who is working on me. Nobody else could do the job he can do. That's what 7-year-old Becky's song is all about. Nobody else.
There was a time when this old earth was just an empty ball. God made the light, the birds and trees, creatures large and small. Became as sinful as could be.
And that song by Becky just leads us very naturally into one that our delightful duetters Pam and Aaron have ready. There's something that's different about him. Listen.
Some say he's just another, but o'er his head rests a star that guided lowly shepherds and wise men from afar. And though he was just a child,
thank you, Pam and Aaron, for that good song about our Lord Jesus. Say, how many of you play the piano? I'll bet that one of the first songs many of you learned is the song Chopsticks. You know, it goes something like this. Right. In fact, some of you who can't even play the piano can play that song. Well, the five Thren boys are here today. Steve, David, Jeff, Paul, and Mark. They're singing a familiar song, I Am So Glad, sort of to that tune of Chopsticks. I think you'll like it. Listen.
I am so glad that our Father in heaven tells of his love in the book he has given. Wonderful things in the Bible I see. This is the dearest, that Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves even me.
Prayer time together today, Lisa Sue is going to sing a prayer song. After all the songs that we've sung about our wonderful Lord Jesus, I hope you are able to sing along with Lisa Sue, I Love You, Lord Jesus.
What I say and what I do, let it be a joy to you. I'll be what you want me to. I love you, Jesus. Every day and every night, help me, Lord, to do what's right. I'll serve
From one of our little girls, we go to our littlest boy, and his name is Jonathan, and he has some scriptures and a good song ready for us. Listen.
Think not what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind, for of these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Priceless treasures of the Lord, gifts of God to me.
Tell you the name of today's story, did I? It's called What You Say is What You Get. I think you'll like the story and perhaps learn something from it, too. Just before that good story, Darren sings our go-along with the story song, I Just Want to Be in My Father's Will.
I just want to be in my Father's will. I just want to be in my Father's will. Serving Him each day.
Don't go away, kids. It's story time.
Our story today, written especially for the Children's Bible Hour by Catherine Runyon, is entitled, What You Say is What You Get.
Hey, Joel, what you got there?
Grandma sent me a letter, and she put 2 sticks of gum in it. This is good. It's great.
Can I have the other piece? Grandma's the only one who gives us gum. Mom says it gives us too many cavities.
No, I'm going to chew both pieces. Grandma sent it to me as a reward for getting an A in spelling. I earned this gum.
Listen, Joel, if you give me the other piece, you can have a ride on my new bike.
Do you mean it, Johnny? You mean you finally saved the money for your new bike? Here, you can have the gum. Where's the bike? I didn't see it when I came in.
Oh, I don't have the bike yet. What I meant was, when I get my bike, then you can have a ride. Don't worry, I won't forget.
Johnny, you tricked me. You knew you didn't have your new bike. That was a lie.
No, it wasn't. When I get the bike, you can have a ride. I never actually said I had the bike here.
But I thought... Well, I just thought.
I can't help what you thought. I told you the truth. Thanks for the gum.
Johnny, you left a mess in the basement when you were working on your models last night. Please get that cleaned up.
All right, Mom. I will.
I've got it. Hello? Yes, he's here. Here, Johnny, it's for you.
Hello? Oh, hi, Mr. Young. The posters? Oh, I guess I lost track of time. You're right, it is Wednesday already. Sure, I've got them right here in the house. I'll go put them up right now. Yes, I know it's important to let people know about the film this weekend. Honest, I'll go out and put them up right now. Bye.
What was that all about? What did your Sunday school teacher want?
Last Sunday, I told him I'd put posters around town to advertise a missionary film we're having in church this weekend. He wanted them put up by last night.
Didn't you understand the instructions?
Yeah, I understood. But you know I had swimming practice after school on Monday and a book to finish reading on Tuesday night. I just couldn't do it until today.
But you knew about those things on Sunday, Johnny. Didn't you tell Mr. Young that you wouldn't be able to put the posters up until Wednesday?
Well, not exactly. He just asked for a volunteer to put up the posters, and I wanted to do it.
I have a strong suspicion that something has been left out of your story. Why don't you tell me exactly what he said and exactly what you said?
Mom, I just told you.
Come on, tell me everything.
Oh, all right. Mr. Young said whoever puts up the posters would have a front row seat in the auditorium, and that the posters had to be put up by the first of the week. The ones who wanted to do the job put their names on slips of paper to be drawn out of a box. My name was drawn.
And you didn't tell Mr. Young that you had commitments on Monday and Tuesday and wouldn't be able to put up the posters until Wednesday?
He never asked.
Johnny is a liar. Johnny is a liar.
I am not. What difference does one day make? I never told Mr. Young I'd have the posters up at a certain time. He said the first of the week. Isn't it still the first of the week?
Johnny, you knew perfectly well what Mr. Young expected when you took the responsibility. I'm surprised at you. And you know, your deceitfulness might be the cause of low attendance at the film.
May I go now? I need to put up these posters.
Dad's home. I gotta see if there's anything left in this lunchbox.
Hi, everybody. Supper smells good.
Hello, dear. We'll be eating a little late.
Bye, Dad. See you later.
Where's he off to in such a hurry?
He's putting up the posters for the film Saturday night.
You don't look very pleased about it. What's wrong?
Well, they should have been up by now. And what really bothers me is that Johnny knowingly led Mr. Young to believe that he'd have the posters up by Tuesday night. Johnny knew he wouldn't be able to put them up till this afternoon.
You mean Johnny lied to Mr. Young?
Oh, Johnny says he didn't lie. He just didn't tell all of the truth. I think he wanted the special front row seat pretty badly.
Well, now that you mention it, something similar happened last week. Apparently, Joel asked Johnny to go outside and shoot some baskets. Johnny said, sure, I'll go shoot some baskets. Well, Joel was so excited. You know how he loves to have Johnny play with him.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then Johnny took the ball and went off to the park to shoot baskets with his friends from school. Joel came in crying, told me about it. And when I asked Johnny, he said, well, I guess Joel misunderstood. I just told him I was going to shoot baskets. I didn't say I'd shoot baskets with him.
I think this is becoming a bad habit. I'm afraid Johnny believes he's telling the truth.
Well, I'll talk with him later and see if we can't get this thing straightened out. And so, Johnny, I'm concerned about some of the things that I've been hearing about you. Do you realize that you're developing a reputation for dishonesty?
But I can't help what people think, Dad. I tell the truth. People just don't always seem to understand.
Say, you know, your mother and I named you after Jonathan, David's friend in the Bible, remember?
I know. He's one of my favorite characters.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember the covenant, or the agreement or promise those two friends made to each other?
Sure. They promised to take care of each other, and even to take care of each other's families. They traded robes and swords and bows.
That's right. Once they made an agreement to meet out in the field so Jonathan could give David the latest information on Saul's plot to kill David. How do you think David would have felt if Jonathan had changed his mind and decided to be on Saul's side?
But he couldn't do that. He promised.
But what if Jonathan had said, oh, you didn't understand. I just took your sword and robe as a kind of keepsake. After all, I let you have mine. We were just swapping for fun.
Oh, Dad, don't be silly. They understood what a covenant meant.
Yes, they did. They were bound more by their understanding of the covenant than just by the actual words they said. In Colossians 3:9, God tells us very plainly, lie not one to another.
But, Dad, I'm telling you, I tell the truth. It's other people who don't understand what I'm trying to say.
Johnny, you don't have to say words to lie. People can lie through deceitful actions and through words left unsaid. If you let someone believe what isn't true, it's a lie. I think you've even tricked yourself into believing that you tell the truth all the time. Now, son, you claim to be a Christian. I'm going to pray that God will show you clearly just what you're doing to yourself and to others, too. Well, if Johnny's father could have followed him around for the next few days, he would have heard his son using some of these familiar expressions.
I didn't promise, so I don't have to do it. I was only teasing. I didn't say when I'd do it. It might be 100 years from now. I had my fingers crossed, so it doesn't count. Boy, Dad, this is going to be a terrific missionary film.
Good.
Greg said he saw it last month at his grandmother's church. It's about South America, and there's one part where a big snake comes on the screen. It looks like it's going to reach right out and grab you. I'm glad I've got a front row seat.
Oh, there's Mr. Young. You can go and ask him where you're supposed to sit. Meet us at the car after the film, all right?
Okay. Mr. Young! Hi.
Hello, Johnny. Good to see you.
Where am I supposed to sit, Mr. Young?
What do you mean, Johnny? Aren't you sitting with your family?
My family? No, don't you remember? You said if I put up the posters, I'd have a reserved front row seat for the film tonight.
Are you sure I said that? I don't recall. Oh, now I know what you mean. Oh, Johnny, I'm afraid there's been a big mistake. Sunday morning, I asked for volunteers to advertise the film. I said anyone who puts up posters certainly will have a front row seat in God's volunteer auditorium. I was trying to say that God blesses and rewards those who work for Him. As I remember, you were talking to Keith when I started talking about the project. Did I mislead you, or did you only hear half of the conversation?
I don't remember exactly. I guess, well, doesn't matter anyway. It's just, I thought...
I'm really very sorry, Johnny. You must be disappointed. Why don't you come and sit with me and my family? We've got good seats in the center section. We can make room for you.
Johnny, why are you so quiet? I thought you'd be bubbling over about all the exciting scenes in the film. Or did the sight of people eating caterpillars upset your stomach?
I feel all right. I'm just thinking. Dad, remember what you said, that you'd be praying for God to show me what my lying was doing to others and to myself?
I remember.
Well, He sure did what you asked. I really believed I was going to have a front row seat tonight. I was wrong, and I felt cheated. I felt so angry and upset. It was my fault. Because I didn't understand the facts. But if Mr. Young had tricked me on purpose, I would have hated him.
Now you know how I felt when you tricked me out of my gum.
I sure do. I'm sorry, Joel. I guess the worst part is that I was starting to believe that what I did was right, and I wasn't lying at all. Believe me, from now on, I'm going to say what I mean, and mean what I say, and that's the truth.
Be careful, little tongue, what you say. Oh, be careful, little tongue, what you say. For the Father up above is looking down in love. So be careful, little tongue, what you say. If you have named the name of Jesus, if you're known as one of His, remember that the world is watching too.
Well, I hope you'll remember that story and also the song, Oh, Be Careful, Little Tongue, What You Say. Our tongues can get us into trouble so often. You know, I think that's why God's given us both lips and teeth, two guards against using our tongue in the wrong way. Well, time's up for today's visit. I'd like to hear from you this week. I'm Uncle Charlie, and you can write to me at Box 1, Grand Rapids, Michigan. That's Uncle Charlie or Children's Bible Hour, Box 1, Grand Rapids, Michigan. Our zip is 49501. Join us next week, same time and station, for another visit with all your friends from the Children's Bible Hour, a listener-supported ministry. Bye now.